Our scripture this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The word of God for the people of God. I'd like for us to think about hope today and the idea that Jesus is our hope. And as we think about hope, we need to be reminded that hope is not a dream. Hope is not wishful thinking. It's not pie in the sky. It is something that is very real. For the church, it's something we can hold on to dearly. It is worth something to us. It holds value for us, this idea of hope. Three areas of hope for the church to be reminded of today is that hope is the hope of believers. The hope of believers tells us that as believers in God, we believe in him because he raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. And so our hope is in God. It's interesting that throughout the Bible, hope is found as a noun or as a verb. Hopefully I didn't tax your English skills from that, but a noun, a place or a thing, a verb, an action. And throughout the Bible, it's either it's a thing to grab hold of or it's a thing to act upon. It's not an adjective or an adverb. It's found as a noun or a verb, so we can hold on to it and we can act with it. Hope is also of resurrection and life. Hope impacts our very lives. That is why we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. There is newness of life brought to us in the resurrection that first Easter morning. Everyone felt that death had conquered what was going on that first weekend, that first Easter weekend. And Good Friday, as we call it today, was not good for those of that day. And yet Sunday morning came, and there was an empty tomb because Jesus was resurrected by the power of God. And we have a hope because of that. Peter puts it in that we are born again into a living hope. Some of the other English translations, that word living is actually lively. And it's a word that denotes activity. It's action. It's not just sitting back and waiting. It's something that is happening. So action is involved, and we don't sit and wait for it to come to us. The hope that we have is something that we act upon. And it becomes part of our very lives as we think about resurrection and life. Now, the previous two points are for the here and now, and we need to embrace them. The third is of hope as well, and it's a valid point. But as I thought about this, you know, so many times we don't realize it's for the here and now, this idea of hope, the hope that we have as believers, the hope that we have in our lives. All too often in the church, we just stick with this idea of that hope is for future glory, that it's, oh, that's for when I move on to the other side. But we need to realize that there is a hope of believers, there is a hope of life, as well as this hope of future glory that Peter says is an outcome of our faith and the salvation of our souls. Hope also is a part of the experiences of our life. Hope puts a framework around our life. It can impact every aspect of it. And And so as we look at our experiences, we can begin to look at them through the lens of hope. And once we understand that hope is for now, not just for eternity, but it's for now, we can allow it to influence our thoughts and our actions. And as we have those experiences of life, we can realize that hope has a purpose. Hope allows us to experience purpose in our lives, no matter the circumstances we are in. And that's something, especially with our world crisis going on today, something to be reminded of about is that hope allows us to have that purpose in our lives, regardless of the circumstances that have changed and put us in new situations. We still have that hope, and we can experience purpose. And while we pray that life is smooth and trouble-free, we ought not be surprised by fiery trials, as Peter shared with us. He says, you know, whatever we go through, we will find that the result of hope and purpose in our lives is the praise, glory, and honor of Jesus Christ. Whether it be by trial, whether it be smooth, whether we have the mixture which most of us have, even in the midst of what's going on today, the result of hope and purpose in our lives will be the praise, glory, and honor of Jesus Christ. As we think of hope in our lives in the framework around the experiences of our life, we need to understand that no matter the experience, God is working it for our good. Doesn't always feel that way when we're in the middle of things, but God is working it for our good. Whether it's a warning in our lives, whether it's a correction that He's placing on us, whether it's a testing that we might be going through, maybe He's put us in a situation where He wants us to exercise trust in Him. Maybe it's a situation or a teaching or the Spirit is speaking to us to purify our spirit, to sort of do spring cleaning on ourselves at this time of year, to purify ourselves, to prepare us for something that He's about to do. In some of the talks that I've had with others in the extended church pastor's family, I guess I should put it that way, as I've spoken with other pastors, is it seems as though God is getting ready to do something out of this whole experience that the world is going through. We ought to be looking to see if God is preparing us for something, because we have this hope that we can experience, and God will work it for the good. And perhaps it's just simply to benefit others at possibly our own cost, the experiences that we have in life. I don't know about you, but there's been moments when, you know, that I can look at my life and say, why did God allow me to go through that? Why did that happen to me? And then later in my life, and sometimes it was sooner and sometimes it was later on, years later, but then I find myself helping someone who is struggling with their faith, but doing it in the same boundary of experiences that I experienced and that I endured and that God saw me through. And so I'm able to benefit them to say, it's going to be okay. God works our experiences for the good. Hope frames it in our lives. And then we have a great unchanging inheritance. We have it now. That inheritance is received as soon as we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it stays imperishable. It stays in place. And it's kept in heaven for us. The Holy Spirit has made a deposit on that for us. And hope puts our experiences in perspective when we learn to be thankful to God and to trust in God in all situations. If we make hope the framework around which we experience all aspects of our lives, we not only find purpose, we not only see the good that God is going to work in it, we find ourselves seeing things with a thankful heart. We find ourselves putting our trust in God. Paul puts it this way to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This hope that we have, this hope that frames our lives, this hope on this Easter Sunday brings us what I'm calling resurrection benefits. And for those of you are watching on a screen, you're going to see some big church words. And you're going to hear some church words, those of you who are calling in. But I think they're important for us. We call them church words because they have deep meaning behind them. And they need explanation to those who don't know what they are. But we need to be reminded of them, especially in light of hope, that there are benefits to having this resurrection hope in our lives. One is the justification. Big old $20 church word, whatever dollar value you want to put on it. But all it means is that our sin has been paid for. Jesus paid for it on the cross on Calvary. He redeemed us with his blood. All throughout Scripture, all throughout man's history, especially leading up to Calvary, God required the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. And so we find justification. We're made right. The church word is righteousness, but we're just made right. We can stand before the throne of God the Father and be worthy to stand there because of what Jesus Christ did that first week or Easter weekend for us. So we can stand there and be justified. That's a benefit of the hope that we have in the resurrected Lord. Another benefit is our own resurrection and sanctification. We're empowered to endure and to live free from sin's bondage. We're set apart, and we know that we indeed have life eternal. That's part of the hope that we have in the resurrection, that we have eternal life. Jesus was the first fruits of that eternal life, that raising from the dead, and all of us will be able to experience that through Jesus Christ. And we're all set apart as we come to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We're set apart to live in that framework of hope as we experience things in our lives. And we cling to that hope that we have in the here and now, not just for the hereafter, but we have it for us now. It's a benefit that we have in the resurrection hope. And we do have a final promise of another big church word, glorification. And what this is speaking of is our body being transformed and we rejoined with our spirit. In the Bible, Paul speaks of being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And other places of Scripture talk about how our spirit moves on immediately and we know our bodies stay behind. But Scripture also tells us there will be coming a time when our body, wherever it is, however, whatever state it is in, God will collect it back together and transform it into a new glorified body. And our spirit will be reunited, and we will live forever with him in glory. What a wonderful benefit in the hope of resurrection. You know, Jesus is our hope. Everything about hope revolves around him. He is our hope. And as we come this Easter Sunday to celebrate an empty tomb, my prayer is that each of us will place our hope in him. Receive our hope from him. Put the framework of hope around our lives and then enjoy the benefits of the resurrection hope we find in Jesus. Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. What a wonderful, wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I want to share some words from Fanny Crosby, the words of a song, Blessed Assurance, but again, another one of those songs. I just don't think a cappella would do justice to it, but the words are so powerful as we close this morning. They speak to me in the way that we can live in this hope that we have in the resurrected Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.